hey, we're going to teach them to do right when mm-hmm. they don't understand what right is. When they do understand, then we're going to respect them enough to explain why we're asking them to do what we're asking them to do. Mm-hmm. So even though there wasn't phones, it was the parties, it was the sleepovers, mm-hmm. it was going out
surely
to
they had
events.
Video games.
Had video games, mm-hmm. right? And there's certain video games. Well, my friends are playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't believe that's healthy for you. And yeah. I know you're upset at me, but understand, we had a good balance of love and respect in our house. Mm-hmm. Do you know I love you? Yes. Well, then I need you to trust me with this. Mm-hmm. They didn't always trust me in that moment, yeah. but as they got older, they're like, hey, thank you for protecting me from that. Thank mm-hmm. you for, if you would have let me go to that party or that event, or if you would have let me do these things, mm-hmm. I don't think I would be as healthy as I am.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Well, hey, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Strong by Design podcast. My name is Jared. I'm one of the hosts here. We believe that you were created by God to be strong in your mind, your body, and your spirit. And so we are all over the map when it comes to our episodes, whether we're talking about holistic health, we're talking about physical fitness, or we're talking about your spiritual well-being and your spiritual health. That's what we're doing. And so today I have an incredible guest with me today. His name
Incredible.
I know, incredible. Outstanding, fantastic.
Yeah. Keep going.
Above average, you know.
At least by 51%.
That's right. We have Pastor Jeff Countryman with us today, and I'm excited to have him. He's another one of our incredible campus pastors at Grace Family in Clearwater. Although I learned today he's a slash, he has other roles and responsibilities at the church as well. But specifically at Clearwater, he oversees all of our groups and our yep. small groups and 1,000 more things. All of our pastors, they're basically just running around making sure nothing falls apart and doing a very good job. So you are, absolutely. And it's I'm just, Jeff actually texted me randomly over, it was in December, I think,
yeah.
November, December, and just said, hey, let's do a podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, what does that mean exactly? What are you asking? And he's like, all of it. I love it all. And so
yeah, I was like, I remember doing a podcast, you know, 8 to 10 years ago. And I had to shut it down for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just dreaming and visioning on the future. I'm like, man, I got at almost 50. I'm 49. I'll be 50 in a couple months.
Mm-hmm. When's your birthday?
April.
Okay.
I'm not going to say the exact date because I don't want anybody to steal it.
That's right. That's fair.
My social security number is.
That's right.
So I just felt like I had, at this point, a little bit of knowledge to help some people in
yeah.
life and ministry and whatever. And it's a good outlet. I don't get to teach quite as much as I used to. I used mm-hmm. to teach 60, 70 times a year, and now it's a few times.
So, mm-hmm. so yeah, it still is. I mean, for me personally, like, it's a huge outlet, mm-hmm. like being able to just talk faith and really give that practicality.
Yeah.
Like that, I know we've had that conversation. Like, for both of us, that's just really important. I don't like to speak on things and just leave it ambiguous, you know, really giving actual direction and helping people say, what are practical steps that right. I can take with this?
How can we do this? As How can we do it better?
Yeah.
And that's part of what the Bible says as you get older, passing on that legacy, passing mm-hmm. on that wisdom and knowledge. So yeah. hopefully your children and your children's children make less mistakes Absolutely. Based on what you have done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the hope.
The hope. It's happening for yeah. me, so
overcoming
I believe
that,
it can happen
that
for
generational
others.
Sin and whatnot. But yeah, so today Jeff and I are going to talk. So Jeff, maybe just real quickly, you could tell us about your family. Today we want to talk with Jeff about what does it look like to raise children mm-hmm. In our current culture. What does it look like to raise children that grow up and genuinely love Jesus? Like yeah. that's what we want, right?
Right.
When I think about my kids, like, success for us, yes, we want them to be well-rounded adults, but if they love Jesus and they're living for him, then I feel like
it's
I've done my job.
At the end of yeah. the day, that's the win. By the way, your kids are really good at rock, paper, scissors.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're killer.
They
you
dominate
yeah, yeah.
I can't
yeah.
get them.
Yeah, they wait that half millisecond to see what you're going to do. You know?
My reactions aren't where theirs at.
Yeah. So. And that's like, I feel like we have good kids. I feel like they listen well. They impress us all the time with the questions that they have and what they know about Jesus. But our oldest is 12. And so when people come to us and they say, hey, what are you doing with your kids? You're doing such a good job. I say, give me another 10 years, and then let me tell you, because we haven't quite hit that teenage phase yet, and I know that that's a different ballgame.
You have girls. That's a whole other game. I was a youth pastor for 20 years, and so I got to counsel a lot of parents.
Mm-hmm.
You have girls.
We do.
Be praying more.
Yes. We don't do it every night, but we try to often go in and pray for our kids after they've fallen asleep and just step into their room and pray over them. And really, I'm always just asking God, what should I be praying for? Because I don't know specifically what they need in every moment.
We prayed as the kids were growing up. We would always take them and drop them off at school.
Mm-hmm.
So we would pray every single morning in the car together
and
over them. Now, they weren't always, you know, into it.
Yes.
But we were setting standards. We were setting, you know, these practices that maybe you don't understand them right now, but when you get older, you're going to understand and you're going to appreciate that we set these things.
Yeah.
And then at night, most nights we would sit down and pray with the kids. And you don't have, not specific every time, but sometimes just God, give them a good night's rest and help tomorrow not get in a fight.
That's right.
That's cool.
We have four kids, and so we have days that it's their day to pray.
Okay.
Because they used to fight. Like, I want to pray. Who wants to pray? You know, which is a great argument to have. But we ended up, you know, everybody has their day, and so they get to pray for all the meals that day. They pray in the morning. Every morning we do the full armor of God
before
we leave the house. And so they get to lead the full armor that day.
Well, it just goes to show even what we're talking about. There's some principles, so prayer should be, but how every family inserts them and does them, it's not like that you have to do things a certain way for it to end up. It is about making it part of your lifestyle.
Right. I think it's making it normal.
Yeah,
so
normalize
it. You know, when we go out to eat, it's normal for us to pray. You know, it's not like the kids aren't like, oh, our people are going to, like, they just think everybody does it, you know, because they think it's the normal thing to do.
Setting standards.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So, I asked this already and then I started yapping my mouth. So how many kids do you have? You have your lovely wife, Tyann.
So she's not my child. She's my wife.
No, she's your wife. Yes.
I have Tyann.
How long have you guys been married?
We've been married for almost 30 years.
Okay.
In October. So we've already 29 years.
Okay.
Been together forever. I met her when I was 8 years old.
Okay.
Literally fell in love with her when I was 8.
How old was she?
She was 6.
Okay.
At the time. Took her quite a few years to understand that I was the one for her. But once we...
You convinced her.
Yeah, I'm a pretty determined person in all things.
Well, you said earlier you prayed about it. So
I did.
God must have been involved a little bit.
The very first time I walked into a church, and it's not an evangelistic story, it's true. I looked over, and again, we grew up in a small town. So the options were very few. Rensselaer, Indiana.
Okay.
But I believe that God gave the perfect option in that that small little church I looked over, this blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl looked at me, and I did. I told my mom when I was 8, when we left the church, that I was going to marry that girl.
Yeah.
She thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
But really, now that's not how everybody should or does or whatever. It's just our story, and we started dating. I was 15 or 16, and she was 14, and we've been together pretty much ever since.
Yeah.
Not the breakup. Come back together all the time kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think we had one serious breakup, but we have been together. It's been unbelievable.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 20 and she was 18.
Okay.
So very young.
Babies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Babies having babies.
Babies, yes.
Because when she was 20, that's when we had our first child. We were actually in Arizona and I was painting sheds, traveling as an evangelist and doing different things, trying to make ends meet, and she was working at MCI. I remember this. We were in Phoenix, and we did not, my car did not have air conditioning.
Okay.
So Phoenix gave it like 120. So, it's a dry heat. Bro, that's what an oven is.
Yeah.
And so you bake in that thing, and we didn't have air conditioning,
yep.
and she was pregnant, and it was killer for her to go back and forth to work.
I can't imagine.
It was tough.
Yeah.
But she made it, right? Because we had a great bond. We had some support systems, but that's when we had our first child. So we have three boys.
Okay.
Cody, Israel, and even when I say their names, it's intentional because mm-hmm. we felt as we were raising our kids, when I was growing up, my mom said, hey, I named you Jeff because there's a kid in school that I absolutely hated. His name was Jeff. Mm-hmm. And when I was having kids, I wanted a girl.
I feel like this story could go a lot of ways.
Well, I wanted a girl. And so you popped out, you're a boy. Mm-hmm. And I told everybody, if I have a boy, I'm naming him Jeff because I hate that name. So God's not going to do that to me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Mom, you should never share that with me. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was important to be aggressive and intentional with the naming. So Cody, yep. Israel, Cody, it is what Tyann was like, hey, I like cowboys. That's what I'm into. But Cody Israel means chosen of God. Mm-hmm. And so that Cody Israel, and then we had Elisha Quinn, which mm-hmm. is a double portion of God's blessing and wisdom. And then Sage Ethan, mm-hmm. which is strong and compassionate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we did the same thing with our kids. Christiana was very prayerful about the names.
Yeah.
And actually, so when we were in Iowa, when the twins were born, I'll just tell you one of them. I'll tell you Eris's story. We did a dinner theater, and it was everyone who was in attendance, we gave them a meal, but it was all like the innkeeper was, it was like you were at the inn, and okay. you were a guest at the inn for the night. And so the innkeeper's like, you know, they're sitting at the front with their family and everyone's kind of chatting. And then the events of the Christmas story are happening, you know, Mary and Joseph come knocking at the door and he's like, I'm so sorry, you know. And so it was a really great thing. And there's a town about 45 minutes away and they had an international college. And there's a guy who brought like 30 students from China to come watch this thing.
Okay.
And so afterwards there was this girl, and Christiana, I mean, she was pregnant with twins. It was December, they were born in April, so she was about 4 months out, but still, you know, she had two babies in her belly. And this girl loved Christiana and just was following her around and just all of these things. And she couldn't speak very good English. And Christiana was like, hey, what's your name? And she says, my name is Eris. And she goes, oh, what a beautiful name. And I was in like earshot. I remember hearing it,
yeah.
But I was like, that's cool. You know, I didn't think about it. That night, Christiana had a dream and God told her, your daughter's name is Eris.
Hmm.
And so she woke up in the middle of the night and she started like Googling, like, what does this name mean?
Yeah, I better be good.
All she could find was like Greek goddesses and things like that. She's like, that's terrible. She put it in and her name actually popped up because Christiana's name is spelled C-A-I-R-I-S-T-I-O-N-A. And so A-I-R-I-S pulls right out of the middle of her name. And she's like, oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Okay, that.
Eventually she found the meaning of the name, which is powerful and complete. And they were going to be our last children. And so
powerful and complete.
And so she, you know, she said, okay,
that's it. All through the Bible, right? Names are important.
They're very
important.
Or
God would not have changed Saul to Paul.
Yep.
Wouldn't have named Peter the rock.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. So, and she prayed through every one of our kids' names. And I mean, I was praying along with her. But then the funny thing about that is, like a year later, we talked to the guy who brought these students, and Christiana was like, how's Eris doing? And he's like, who's Eris? Apparently her name was Iris, but because of her accent, Christiana heard, I heard it too. It sounded like Eris. So, but
well, it ended up being, being good.
Yeah.
Ended
up
being what
very,
what
very fun.
So yeah, three boys, all of them love God, mm-hmm. which was really,
how old are they now?
28, 26 and 24.
Okay.
Probably 27, 25, and 23 as I'm thinking about. They're getting ready.
About to.
February. Yeah. We're in February. Mm-hmm. Cody is a leap year baby.
Okay.
I remember when we were in the hospital and it was getting ready to go. And I'm like, it's a leap year. Mm-hmm. There, it's February 28th. And it was 11 o'clock at night and it was almost ready. And I'm like, God, please hold on for one more hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, for a leap year baby. And my wife was, Tyann was like, shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
Now. So, but he's a leap year baby.
That's awesome.
27, yes.
So he's only like 8.
Yes, he got that all growing up. I think, you know, at some point.
Did you celebrate it in February or in March?
Yeah, because it's the month, yeah. Right? February 28th. March 1st would technically, but no, it's in February, so let's celebrate
yeah,
then.
Yeah, that's great.
So we had the boys, they're all loving God. They're all doing great in life.
Yeah.
Cody is actually our youth pastor on our central campus up in Lutz. Mm-hmm. He's been a youth pastor. Really put a mic in his hand at 16, had him start leading because he had that same kind of giftedness and calling. We knew that from a young age. He knew that. Eli is over in LA. We just got back from LA this weekend, spent the week with him. He graduated from UCLA. He's unbelievably intellectual and intelligent. Got over $150,000 in scholarships just because of his scores and things. And so he has studied journalism and he's finding his way there in LA. Such a compassionate, humanitarian kind of person in his heart. Just really has an empathetic spirit towards people. And then Sage is working at a church down south and Pinellas Community Church as their production manager and growing leaps and bounds in his faith and his leadership.
Yeah, that's so great.
They all are serving God.
Yeah.
We have two grandkids from our first child. Mm-hmm. They are, two of them married, Sage and Cody. Maddie's married to Cody, and then Rachel's married to Sage, and we have two grandkids.
Yeah.
And they are unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah.
And when you become a grandparent, that's pretty much all that matters.
Yeah, do you like that better? Or is it just different?
It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of both sides. Some are like, oh, this is the best because you take it and then you can give them back. And others are like, well, it's, you know, it's not the same as raising your kids. Yeah. I look at everything differently and I want to have those moments to be great. Mm-hmm. So we, as grandparents, we do. We absolutely love it. Yeah. Let's keep them for a night, a couple nights that are, I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't. They're so amazing, but it's so much energy.
It is.
You forget.
It's a lot of energy.
But my favorite thing that I've always told people, being a husband and a father are the two highest callings in life. And it really was my favorite thing on earth to do. And I've got to do a lot of amazing things that this world would go, ooh, man, you accomplished. And when I look back, the thing that I am so proud of is raising our kids and they love Jesus.
Yeah. So a big reason why when we were talking about what we wanted to talk about today is because you have three adult children that love the Lord and are following God. And
you can say that again because that just felt good.
You have three adult children who love the Lord and are following God. Yeah. And so I'm like, I want to know, like there's no magic trick, right? There's no magic trick. I have a mentor of mine that he has, I think he has three of his own and then two adopted, that it's the same thing. They're all grown up. They all love Jesus. They're all following. And I ask him the same question, like, what did you do? You know, why, what is it that kept these guys wanting to follow God even after they're out of the home.
Yeah.
And that's so important to me. I know it's important to a lot of other parents out there. And so I didn't know if there were some things that maybe it won't work for everybody, but things that you could pinpoint in your own life and in your own journey with Tyann and your kids, of things that you did that you can see that fruit now.
Yeah. Well, there's a caveat in this also. So if you're watching this and you have raised your kids loving Jesus and you've tried to do all of the things and they aren't necessarily where you want and think they should be, it doesn't mean you failed. I have watched throughout the years, the Bible is right and true in everything that it says. And it says, if you raise them in my ways, then they are going to at some point come back to me. And so I think it's more about making sure that you're raising them in the ways of the Lord, that you're really trying to set. We had at our church this past weekend, one of the worship leader talked about Joshua stones, these moments in time that you set these pillars and you have faith when you come against something hard because you saw God do something great. So in this moment, God did something great. We set a pillar and we look at that and go, wow, I didn't even believe that could happen. And I'm astonished by God. Now, when I hit another hard time, I can look back. If he did it there, he'll do it here. It's the same way, I think, in your raising kids. you're setting stones, you're setting up these mm-hmm. examples and pillars and saying, hey, as you grow, we want to make sure that you can look back and go, hey, this was important to our family. We set these markers. They weren't just things that we glossed over or mm-hmm. passed over, because we're all going to mess up. We're all going to hit hard times. We're all going to be, there's times that we're not the best examples that we want to be. And so we want to set those yeah. kind of those markers.
Yeah. We actually did that. And like walking into our house, we used Ebenezer, because it's the same thing. It's the same principle, but we have like this stack of stones. Yeah. It's just kind of, as we enter and leave the house, yeah, remembering what God did,
As the people of Israel went across, they set those stones mm-hmm. up, reminding them.
Exactly.
All through the Bible, it talks about setting reminders mm-hmm. for the next generation.
I think because humans are stupid.
We are. We have a small capacity to remember. And when you get older, you, mm-hmm. even as you're talking, there's words that you want to find, you can no longer find yes. them. So you've got to have these markers or this Google app that can remind you of these
yes,
things.
Yes, that's right. It's way to go, technology. that's something that's probably different now than maybe when your kids were a little bit younger, is technology. Was there any navigation that you guys had to do with that? Compared to what parents are having to do
it
now?
It is uncomparable. Mm-hmm. But we had a meeting as pastors a few weeks ago. And, there's people that they're scared to death. Are my kids being raised in this generation? And it's worse than any other generation. And I just really believe that God, in the sovereignty of God, He knew that this is how life was going to be. He is going to give you and your children the capacity to thrive, not just survive, and be holy in this kind of thing. Is it much more difficult? Yeah, did we have to put limits on their phone? They didn't have cell phones, mm-hmm. right? We didn't have 24 access. We had a landline at the beginning of our marriage. There was no such yeah. thing as a cellular device. Mm-hmm. I know that ages me way up there, but we didn't have to put some things. But there
makes
were other
things.
Makes
you feel things. Better. When I was younger, we didn't have cell phones either. Let's see. Does that make you feel better?
No, because that means I'm old enough to be your dad. there was other things, right? That's the standards thing. Hey, even though everybody else is doing it this way, there are certain things. So we tried to make a clear line that, hey, we are going to operate and function this way, but mm-hmm. we're not going to be super legalistic. We're not going to be possessive and whatever. We always thought about this. Hey, we're going to teach them to do right when mm-hmm. they don't understand what right is. When they do understand, then we're going to respect them enough to explain why we're asking them to do what we're asking them to do. Mm-hmm. So even though there wasn't phones, it was the parties, it was the sleepovers, mm-hmm. it was going out
surely
to
they had
events.
Video games.
Had video games, mm-hmm. right? And there's certain video games. Well, my friends are playing it. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe that's healthy for you. And yeah. I know you're upset at me, but understand, we had a good balance of love and respect in our house. Mm-hmm. Do you know I love you? Yes. Well, then I need you to trust me with this. Mm-hmm. They didn't always trust me in that moment, but yeah. as they got older, they're like, hey, thank you for protecting me from that. Thank mm-hmm. you for, if you would have let me go to that party or that event, or if you would have let me do these things, mm-hmm. I don't think I would be as healthy as I am. Now, there are some things I look back, that was kind of stupid, Dad. Mm-hmm. Why'd you do that? Mm-hmm. And you do your best to explain. I thought I was doing the right thing, mm-hmm. but maybe in that instance, I should have given, we should have given a little bit more anyway. Yeah. So I think the problem with parents sometimes is they just want to be friends, or they just don't know how to be friends. And so they're just going to set the rules and say, you're going to do this no matter what. We tried to say, we're going to be friends, but they've all grown up to respect and love us. So for instance, you'll never badmouth your mother. You will never disrespect your mother. You will not talk. That's a line in the sand. We're not even going to discuss it. As I got older, here's why. Go through the Word of God, scripturally, what it means. But at the same time, going through the Word of God and saying these other things, we're not sure about, but we're going to try to help you. I think you need to read the Word of God. I think we need to pray. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about teaching your children the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then it says when you lie down mm-hmm. and when you sit up, when you
Deuteronomy.
Walk, and when you lie down, and when you get up, and when you mm-hmm. walk, and when you're sitting, and what it is, when the Bible's laying things out like that, that means all the time,
yeah.
right? It's mm-hmm. giving the stream examples mm-hmm. and everything in between. Mm-hmm. So God was always going to be part of our conversation. God mm-hmm. was always, prayer was going to be there. Mm-hmm. Setting those kind of things, we normalized
Yeah.
That we're a Christian family. We're not mm-hmm. going to be weird. Mm-hmm. We're not going to throw it in people's faces. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to be the house that all their friends came over to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're like, man, I wish I had your dad. Yeah. I wish I had your mom.
Yeah.
We wanted to be that,
yeah. Yeah.
but also keep yeah. the boundaries.
Yeah, we can relate to that a lot. We love it when all of their friends come over.
Yeah.
Ezra had his birthday party on Saturday, and we don't have a huge space. And so we told him he could invite like three friends or something like that. But then their siblings all came with them. And then as we were doing stuff, neighborhood kids saw something was going on and started creeping over into the party.
Really?
And so we ended up with like 14 kids.
3 to 14.
Yeah, we went from 3 to 14. But it was great. Like, it was so much fun. We just went out in the back and, you know, I had different games playing. It was like a little mini youth group day is what it felt
yeah.
like. But it was so good. And at the end, one of the kids was going back with his mom, one of the neighborhood boys. And he was like, that was the best birthday party I've ever been to. And it was like, Florida has a weird, like, thing when it comes to birthdays.
Florida
where
has a lot of weird
they're,
things.
Like, taking kids to, like, the Sky Zone, which is, you know, the trampoline yeah. park, or it's like these large
events.
And I'm like, we can't do that. Like, yeah. we don't have the funds to support something like that. So we're like, we'll have three friends come over and we'll get you a cake, you know?
And then the whole neighborhood will join.
And it was the best birthday party
but
ever.
One of the valuable lessons in what you're talking mm-hmm. about is even if you, some of those kids, if you mm-hmm. go statistically, probably don't have the best home life.
Mm-hmm.
They just experienced a good home life event.
Yeah.
And so we look at, I did not have a good upbringing. My parents did the best that they could, but there was heavy discipline. There was not a lot of love shown. It was not anything I would want my kids to mm-hmm. go through. But other people, I watched other people, how they raised their kids, how they treated their kids.
Mm-hmm.
God was great enough that even though I didn't have parents, he put people in my life to shepherd and mentor me so that I could take those examples and implement it into my family. So you were an example to those kids. As
yeah.
they grow, they're going to remember some of those
yeah.
moments.
Yeah.
It's a principle even in the church. I hear some pastors like, man, we got to change the way we do church and how we do this. We got to make it more comfortable for everybody. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do need to make it comfortable for mm-hmm. everybody. But the reason why people wanted to come over to our house, these kids,
mm-hmm.
it was different. It felt different.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't try to make it feel like all their homes.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to keep it like our home.
Mm-hmm.
It's loving. It's nurturing. Yeah, when you come into our house, you're not going to spit on the floor. You are not mm-hmm. going to cuss.
Yeah.
You're not. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, the kids would respect it
yeah.
Because they could feel the difference mm-hmm. in it.
And I think, I know, kids want boundaries.
Yes.
They buck them. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you set the boundary, they're going to push it. So, you know, really you don't want them over here. You have to set the boundary over here so that when they push it, they're actually not where you want them to be still.
Yeah.
You know, and being a little bit wise in what you're doing with those things. But it's like, it's a way to show love to them is giving them those boundaries. I mean, you see that. I mean, there's movies, there's TV shows where, you know, the kids can do whatever they want. And then you have the other kid that's like, oh, I wish I had your life. And they're like, at least you have someone that cares about you enough to tell you not
to
do something.
Well, the Bible is clear. If you read in the Word of God and it mentions discipline
mm-hmm.
over and over again, mm-hmm. many times it mentions discipline along with children, discipline your child. This is how they know that you love them.
Mm-hmm.
This is how your Heavenly Father mm-hmm. trains you, teaches mm-hmm. you that he loves you, is he disciplines you because he's trying to protect you. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. when they get older, they know you discipline them because you were protecting mm-hmm. them.
Yeah, I think what messes us up in our world and our culture, because God is, his kingdom is the upside down kingdom, is we have a misconception and understanding of what love is,
mm.
and we have a misconception and understanding of what discipline is, you know, in the
sense. Explain. Tell me what you mean by that.
So by love, I mean, we've talked about this on the show some already, where we think love is acceptance or love is giving you what you want, you know, which is not love. You know, love is setting you up for your best. You know, mm. If you know, the best example I always come up with is if my kid wants to put his hand on the burner of the stove,
yeah,
I'm going to tell him no, because mm-hmm. I don't want him to get hurt. You know, there's consequences to putting your hand on the stove, where our world would say, do whatever you want, whatever feels good to you. Give it, you know, and, discipline. I think we think of the word discipline and we think like you're beating your kid or,
no,
you
know, do not do that.
Whatever, you know, this idea of discipline is like you, but it's gotten to the point where our culture says you can't even tell your child no.
Right.
Like you're going to hurt their feelings. And I'm like, I tell my kids no all the time. And it's not because it doesn't hurt their feelings. It's because I love them that I tell them, no, you can't do this thing.
Right.
And that's just, it's a lost concept, I think.
I kind of was alluding to that at the beginning when I was saying when they're younger, you're disciplining them and they don't understand, mm-hmm. right? They don't know right from wrong.
Yep.
But you have to set these standards. No, you're not allowed to touch that fire ever. Mm-hmm. And as you continue to try this, the punishments get a little mm-hmm. bit like you're going to stay in timeout. Mm-hmm. When they were really young, we did give them a pat on the butt. We spanked mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. Not aggressively, not mm-hmm. hard. That was one of our rules. We're never going to lose our temper. We're never going to do it out mm-hmm. of, but there was times that we did. We spanked our children as they got, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. There was never a need. It mm-hmm. was, you're grounded from the video games.
Right.
Go to your room. You're going to sit there for an hour. You're going to think about what, and this is why. Mm-hmm. That's when we start instituting, this is why. Mm-hmm. And they really appreciate it as they get older.
Yeah, and that's a big deal for me. So we do the same thing. You know, we've been doing wall sits.
Okay. So they get at workouts.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
I wish I would have done that. And, now I'm liking it.
Well, we heard like some people have done like push-ups and things like that. And it's not like it's like 30 seconds. And
my kids would have thought that's fun.
Sometimes they do. You know, they all had to do a wall sit at the same time, and they were just sitting there laughing at each other. You know, and you're like, you're trying to be mad, but at the same time, you're kind of chuckling too, you know?
Yeah.
But the point is not,
I think God
the
does
punishment
that to us
isn't
sometimes.
The point, right? The punishment isn't the point.
Right.
The punishment is
behavior.
I want to teach, I'm trying to teach you something. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what the punishment is, at the end, we always have, I call it the Full House moment. You know, do you remember the show Full House?
Yes, I do, but
you know,
I don't.
At the end of every, whenever there's always turmoil or whatever, and at the end, they always play the music, you know, and they come and they explain, you know, hey, you know, we care about you. We love you. And they're like, oh, Dad, I love you too. Da-da. And so obviously there's no music playing in the house, but I want our kids to understand this is why
you could
we're asking you to do this.
Yeah. Siri or Amazon.
That would, Alexa. Just put it in your pocket. Yeah. I remember being disappointed as a kid where I would get mad and go upstairs to my room and like throw this whole hissy fit. And I was like waiting for that moment to happen. And my parents never came.
Yeah. No. Well, what you said is absolutely priceless and golden for parents.
Mm-hmm.
The follow-up.
Yeah.
It's not just the punishment. I think that's where we're talking about setting some standards, setting some things, principles that if you explain to them the why
mm-hmm.
in a calm moment when their minds are not spinning out of control, mm-hmm. we get that way. If you're married, you've had an argument. More than likely, mm-hmm. maybe this week or today. Right. And it's not you love each other. Like mm-hmm. Ty and I love each other. We have disagreements, arguments. Within that moment, that heated moment, for me, I'm intellectual and logical. I could probably process it. My wife, we've talked about it. There is no way on God's green earth at that moment she wants to hear why, what, mm-hmm. or any reasons whatsoever. We are going to take a break. And she's got to go and she's got to process and calm down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying in any way she's like a child. That's not everybody's personalities are different.
Yes.
But children definitely are that way. They need time to settle.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in a time of clarity is when you sit down and say, hey, mm-hmm. here's why. And even their little brains mm-hmm. and their hearts can process that. And when you've got an atmosphere of love in your heart mm-hmm. and your home, you've said it, you set your home as an atmosphere of love. Then it begins to cultivate, it begins to grow, it begins mm-hmm. to become part of their DNA.
Yeah.
And you can never separate your DNA. The things that you're creating in your children, mm-hmm. that's why the Bible says raise them in the mm-hmm. ways and they will, because it becomes part of their DNA, mm-hmm. they literally can't get it out of them.
And I know, I mean, we see, so my wife, you know, Christiana's in the clubhouse, and so we see a lot of kids. And because Christiana's in the clubhouse, I too am in the clubhouse, you know, as the supportive husband.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. And but we see a lot of young kids, and what I'm reminded of too is the earlier you can start those things, the better off it's going to be. It doesn't mean that if they're, you know, you have kids that are 10 or 11, 12, and you haven't done this yet, that you shouldn't start.
It's never too late.
But like, our kids are the way that they are because of what we did when they were 1, 2, 3 years old. And you do more development in your brain in the first year of your life than you do for the rest of your life. That's just statistically what it is. And so there's a lot happening.
I think I knew that.
There's a lot happening, you know, in little kids. Karia, my daughter, last night, so I turned 40 in like a week.
Old man.
Yeah, I'm almost there. But she came up to me this morning and she goes, "So you're going to turn 40? I said, "Yeah." She goes, "That's four tens." I said, "That's correct."
Genius.
And then she said, "You've probably experienced a lot of things. I'm only 10. I haven't experienced but a few things."
You have to just sit back in awe at that.
Okay. I said, "That's true." But the reality is like, their world is just completely different than ours. I think our brains actually aren't fully developed until we're 25.
Correct.
Which the only people that have gotten that right is the car rental companies. Everyone else thinks that, you know, babies can make their own decisions.
Yeah, I'm not going into that.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
I'm so frustrated about that in this world.
But the thing is like, the earlier you can start, the better.
Yeah.
Because you're setting up those standards. And now our kids, like, because we set the, like, our kids rebel, our kids do things they shouldn't do, but they know. You know, and it's not a big argument anymore. It's, you know, Karia, the same girl, will become, she'll come downstairs and be like, "Hey, so I just did this or that or the other thing." And we're like, you know, we're like, "Okay, all right, you know, did you pray? Did you ask, you know, tell God you're sorry? Did you tell your brother you're sorry?" And she's like, "Yeah, I did." I'm like, "Okay, great. Let's move on. Let's move forward."
I think that is a super point, if I can say super point.
Super.
I sound like a teenager now. I'm super point. I think that's really pivotal for parents to understand. Setting an atmosphere. So for our kids, we really did tell them, "Hey, you are going to mess up." Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. We are trying to help you understand how you can be healthiest. But we want to set an atmosphere that if you mess up, don't be afraid to come to us, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. So when they got to be teenagers and they could really process well, I let them know, no matter what happens in your life, mm-hmm. you can come to us. I don't want them going to another teenager and asking for advice if they mess up with drugs or they sleep with somebody or mm-hmm. something of that nature happens. I want them to come to me because I know they're going to be panicked. Mm-hmm. I know they're looking for an out, and I want them to get good advice. And if I set up a system where every time you do something mm-hmm. wrong and you come to me and I'm gonna punish you in a severe way mm-hmm. or whatever, there are repercussions, right? Yeah. We let them... talked about that. There, mm-hmm. you come to me and you say you burnt down the house. Yeah, we're still going to talk and whatever, but I'm going to help you put the fire out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to help rebuild whatever took place mm-hmm. and you're going to help pay for it. Mm-hmm. You're going to be part of that solution.
Yeah.
And so that
is something.
The reality
of consequences.
The consequences. Mm-hmm. There's still consequences, mm-hmm. but they shouldn't be fearful. And that's mm-hmm. our God.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be so fearful of the consequences. When we mess up, he already knows. Mm-hmm. And we should come to him and express, "Hey, I'm sorry, God." And he's going to, mm-hmm. based on the it says in the word of God, based on the position of your heart is how I'm going to mm-hmm. handle this. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you mess up and you turn to God and ask for forgiveness, he says, "I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to help you." If you mess up and you're making justifications, you're doing all these things, mm-hmm. he's like, "You haven't learned your lesson yet. There's going to be a little bit more heavy consequences."
Yeah.
So setting up that system, and I can remember specific examples, which I will not share for the protection of my children, that they came to me as older teenagers and young adults and said, "Hey, this is what took place." And I was honored beyond measure to sit mm-hmm. down and go, "Thank you for telling me. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's what I think you should do. Here's how, let's process this out." And I mm-hmm. worked the solution with them.
I mean, that's part of parenting too, right? It's not making the decisions for your children. It's teaching them how to handle situations. Right. And so, I mean, that's true with technology. You know, we're trying to teach our kids how to handle technology in a healthy way.
Yeah.
That's true with everything
that
we do.
We need to teach that to a lot of people.
Yes.
Like parents out when you're having, you know, meals out as a family, maybe mm-hmm. put the phone down mm-hmm. and look at your kids that are terrorizing the other customers.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
You know, that was a little... as you know, just a friendly suggestion. My mentor, who I mentioned earlier, when I did ask him about why his kids are following Jesus in the way that they are, his actual, you know, what he came to, his conclusion was, we loved each other so much, we spent so much time with each other, that as our kids got older, they didn't have to go looking for answers anywhere else. They were able to come talk to us about and find the answers within us, because they trusted us and because we had that relationship. And so I think that that's just a vital piece where you said, you know, you have to engage with your kids, and you have to genuinely love them and want to spend time with them and be with them. And so that looks different for different families too. Some families
genuinely
are like,
want.
Genuinely want.
Intentionally.
Yes.
Because we are selfish people.
Intentional presence is what I call it.
Yeah. Intentional. Mm-hmm. Intentional presence.
It's really easy to come home from work, sit on the couch, watch TV, eat dinner, and go to bed. And your kids are there and you're physically present.
Yeah.
But you're checked out. And figuring out, okay, I don't like playing Super Smash Brothers. It's not a fun thing for me. Ezra loves it. So every once in a while, I'll say, Ezra, let's play.
Let's do this.
And he'll come up to me and be like, hey, Dad, I want to do something with you. I'm like, well, what do you want to do? He's like, I don't know. You want to play video games?
Smash Brothers.
And I love that he comes to me and says, Dad, I want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
That won't last forever, I don't think.
No.
And
there'll be seasons, especially because you have young ladies, that they will want to disconnect and try to do their own thing. But keep loving them. Mm-hmm. Keep trying to set those things. We had, you know, family game nights.
Yep.
And it was like, you're going to be here. I don't care. Then as they got to be teenagers, okay, you can miss tonight because there's a football game or there's that's what I meant by not being legalistic. Mm-hmm. We had those intentional moments, but we set some leeway, some space to go, okay, hey, this is important. You can do it this time. I think if you say never, 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 and you set these hard ridge lines and they never experience outside, then they get a little bitter towards rules, religion, or whatever. So I think discernment from the Holy Spirit as you're doing this, because you just, no matter what book you read, because I love reading. I used to ingest 3 or 4 books a month. I absolutely like to gain knowledge. And as I look back, a lot of things helped, but if I did not have God and the Holy Spirit, I don't know that I would have been able to navigate it as well as I believe we did navigate it.
Yeah, I think that's a vital point. I don't. That's not just like a side point.
Not a super point,
that,
a vital
this
point.
Is a vital point that it has to be. The Holy Spirit knows your kids better than you know yourself. He knows what they need. We're all wired differently.
Correct.
So the way that I think and operate and communicate is every single one of my kids is going to be different.
Yep.
And so without the wisdom and discernment and interaction with the Spirit, living a Spirit-led life, you're going to find yourself lost.
Correct.
You're probably going to feel lost even with the Spirit at times, but that's when we trust that God is going to pull through for you and fill in those gaps. And you were talking about people coming into the home, like that's the difference that they're going to feel. They feel the presence of the Spirit of God in the home. And that's what we want. We pray that. We pray over our house and say, and as people walk by, we want them to be like, what is different about that place? What is it? You know, so that the presence of God is so thick that we don't even have to do anything.
I love that.
They just see it or they feel it because he's there.
Well, you can sense. People can call it discernment, sixth sense, whatever. People can sense things. We all have a spirit world kind of thing, not getting too in depth on that. But you're right. The spirit, you can. That's why when you get around somebody who's hateful and angry and whatever, you start to feel the pull. If you're having a bad day, you get around somebody that's going to be encouraging, whatever. That's why my life's motto has been, I want to be an encouraging factor or force in every person that I ever meet. In your house, that's the same thing. Like, God, give us the ability to do it. Let them feel, let them sense that.
Absolutely.
I think that is genius.
Yeah. Yeah. I always feel that way. I always pray that with babies. Like, I want them to know and see Jesus in me. Is that weird?
I'm going to plead the fifth. I don't think it's weird. I didn't know where that was going. So.
I'm working.
How many babies are you around all the time?
Every other week I'm helping at the clubhouse.
Now I'm getting it. I'm like, you're not a doctor. You're not a nurse.
Let me put this into context.
I go over in the mall and I look for babies and I'm asking God.
Let me put this into context. Okay. When I'm helping in the clubhouse. Okay. When I'm working in the clubhouse, the mission of Grace is that these kids will know and hear about Jesus.
Helping families.
It's not just a daycare on Sunday mornings. Yes. And so my prayer is when I'm helping in the clubhouse that these kids will see Jesus.
I'm liking where this is turned. I was just worried for a moment.
Just going to have to cut that first little bit out and we'll just go right into the context.
No, I think that's good.
And again, in today's world, that could be completely taken out of context.
Like, that's not
Jared. So I apologize for that. Well, Jeff, I know that if someone looks you up, like this is the reality, right? If I look up Jeff Countryman on Google, what gets pulled up?
I think I shifted in my chair.
You did.
While you said that.
You did.
You know what? It's been 7 years, and I was, even though I'm sitting here, you know, talking about how amazing our family is and how well things went. They really, if I could do everything over that I've done in my life again, exactly the way it is, I would do it because we are healthy and a good point and whatnot. So yes, I was, I have been a pastor for 30 years in full-time ministry. Yeah. There's 2 years in the middle of this story that I was in a restoration program because I was youth pastor for 20 years, traveled, did a lot of things. God was amazing. Got to speak at conferences with 30, 40,000 people and be a lead pastor of two, what they would call mega churches that are growing by thousands of people at a time. And I was a little bit different. I was very driven, very focused. I thought my job was to change as many people as possible. I knew it was really God that changed them, but I thought, man, you've got to use me. You've created me special. And so I, in the process of that, I also had 30 different surgeries. I have lupus and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So my ligaments and things, I got really stretchy skin. You can you can see that. My connective tissue.
Never noticed that before. That's really
because
fun.
I try to keep it tighter. Than,
does it do that on your face?
I'm not doing that on camera. So my connective tissue is a little messed up and the lupus attacks it. And so being a boxer and a wrestler, I really jacked my body up and I had all these surgeries. So I had some bills and things. And in the process of being a man of God, raising this family, traveling around the world, I used some funds from the church to pay medical bills. You know, I wasn't trying to get rich, and that seems like a justification. It is in some ways, but it gives you the position of my heart. It was, I felt entitled. God, I'm doing all this for you, and I have these medical bills. I can't buy a house, whatever. And I used money from the church to pay $15,000, $20,000 of medical bills. Without asking. And I remember I was 1 week, I'm sitting down just like this with somebody from Charisma Magazine. And they're like, hey, we're going to do an article on this guy who's running two of the fastest growing mega churches in America. How are you doing that? How are you balancing that? And then just a few weeks later, I'm sitting down with my board and I'm saying, yeah, this is how I took the money. So it's called misappropriation of church funds. It's really, it's stealing. Even though I'm paying tithes, I'm giving to missions, I'm doing all the things, I took money from the church, which is, you know, I look back and I am extremely embarrassed and humbled. And I can't believe that guy justified all those things. And so I'm sitting there talking to them just after having some of my most shining moments as in a vocational ministry, sitting down with and being fired by two boards and saying, hey, you know, you really messed up. And I think I said this earlier about owning it. The day they came to me and said, hey, this looks funny. My flesh said, all right, here's what I'm going to do. And here's how I can cover this up. And here's how I can take care of it. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, hey, I've kind of pricked you a few times and told you to check yourself, and you haven't. So I believe God lets you get in a few fender benders before you get in a total annihilation. And those fender benders weren't teaching me. And he said, I felt the Holy Spirit say, if you try to cover this up in any way and you don't own it, I'm going to remove the call of ministry from your life.
Mm-hmm.
That scared me to death.
Mm-hmm.
While I knew I could go run a business and make money, I knew I was called to help people find and follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember that day, hey, here's what I did. Here's how I did it. I'll do whatever you ask. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you Google me, you're going to see, I was on Fox News and CNN. And mm-hmm. you know, when you're, there's blessing when you're running a large church and you're in, like in a community where everybody knows you, it's going to get out on the news. It's going to, you know, then you're starting to get in the flood of emails and phone calls and whatever. And I, from day one, I owned it and said, hey, I did this. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have. And then I got a counselor the next day. He's still my counselor today, 7 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out of ministry for 2 years and did a restoration program where you're studying, you're accountable to these eight pastors and you're doing, but I leaned into it and said, God, what in me allowed that? Because you could not have paid me enough money to believe that I would ever be susceptible to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the blessing is my kids said, and I'll never forget this. I've had this conversation with each of them. Dad, I'm glad that happened. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, a couple things. We saw you truly humble yourself, own it, not do what other people, here's the reasons why, whatever it is, I messed up, and then lean in. But more than that, we thought growing up you were perfect, that you've never made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our father. He's leading these thousands of people. He's on TV. He's doing all this stuff. And we were never going to measure up.
Yeah.
And you've never in the house, you know, you disciplined pretty well. I mean, I did things wrong. I guarantee you. They just didn't see it. I'm not sure why they didn't see it. My wife surely saw some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But even her, she was like, I just thought you were up here. And it actually gave us hope. Man, we are all messed up. Just like you've always preached.
Right.
We finally saw it in action and then saw you go through the restoration. So that was from 7 years ago, 2 years of restoration. And then I got back into ministry and God slowly let me get back into the groove of things and whatnot.
Yeah.
And now my empathetic spirit for people going through things is magnified tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
My heart for people that have messed up. Mm-hmm. I used to be like, how can you mess up? Like, just get with God. You should be strong enough, blah, 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 blah. And now I'm like,
just be better.
Just be better, do better.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the that was the story. But it goes back. My kids never lost. I've got letters and things. One of my kid from LA, Eli, say kid, my son from LA. I remember him in the middle of this. I'm having some pretty existential crises. I laid in bed for 3 months asking God, don't let me wake up. Like I wasn't suicidal. I just felt like my life was over. And a lot of that has to do with, man, I've built up this image and now everybody has seen your worst moment on TV. Oh, that is not, nobody wants that, by the way. But I remember Eli texts me and saying, hey, do I have to Photoshop a cape on you to let you know that you're my hero? And it was like in the perfect moment that I needed it.
Yeah.
Cody writing me things of, you're the best father, you're the best example, you're the best minister I've ever met. I've been so honored to be your, the coaching I did for my kids. It's been a long time since I've cried telling the story. They then coached me. They then helped me.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think that's and a real testament,
cry,
though,
by
right?
The way.
Yeah, they do.
Like strong men.
Yeah, yeah.
People that are.
I do it before night every bed. And before bed every night.
Okay, that's like the baby thing.
So after my. Just kidding. No. I think that's a real testament, though, to what was happening within your home that your boys would react that way, that they would respond to a crazy situation. Like it would have been, you know, if things in the home were different, it would have been easy for them to be like, see, my dad's terrible, blah, 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 whatever it might be, you know. But for them to rally around you is just a testament to what you and Tyann were doing from birth, the birth of your children, you know. And that's 7 years ago. So, I mean, your oldest was what, 22. Okay. Yep. I pushed him to 32 right. fast. Yep. I'm sorry. Yep. And so, I mean, so your youngest was in high school?
He was in high school, and I was so proud of him. Mm-hmm. The other two were older, right?
Right.
When you hit 20, you really do change a little bit more than when you're 17 and 16. Mm-hmm. And it has this empathetic heart for people. And the way that he approached me, never once... If anybody would have said something negative about me, mm-hmm. I would be fearful for their life. Mm-hmm. Like, he's never been violent towards somebody, but mm-hmm. he's this big guy. He's mm-hmm. the biggest of my kids. Mm-hmm. And he would all like, don't talk about my dad. He's mm-hmm. a good man. They were young, and it could have caused what you said. It could have caused them, okay, if we had bad principles and mm-hmm. unhealthiness, mm-hmm. it would have exposed everything. Mm-hmm. I think that's even why people in the ministry world and in the church world, I did not get what I deserved, Jared. Mm-hmm. I had two people reach out, basically, you know, you're going to hell forever and still mm-hmm. like...
Yeah, which I'm sorry I did that, by the way.
Well, that wasn't you. Oh, yeah, wasn't I would me. Remember, because I do remember. I've forgiven them. But thousands and thousands of people, hey, you messed up. Mm-hmm. Turn to God. It's going to be... And I think that's because genuinely, even though I messed up, I had a good heart towards people.
Yeah.
And my kids recognize that. The people recognize that. Mm-hmm. And... We're all going to mess up. We're all going to mess up big at some mm-hmm. point in our life. Mm-hmm. How we respond to that is part of it. But mm-hmm. I also think how we're prepping ourselves before the foundational stones mm-hmm. that we keep going back to. Yeah. I had foundational stones. God, you have mm-hmm. me. I have faith and mm-hmm. trust in you. Even though I messed up, you're going to forgive mm-hmm. me. And there's grace. And family, people treated me well.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think, nobody ever thinks that... They'll be the one that does whatever it is, you know. We say that when I was doing like marriage counseling, you know, pre-marriage counseling, no one ever gets married thinking, oh, in 10 years I'm probably going to slip up and cheat on my wife. Or, you know, I mean, you don't think I'll never do that,
right?
You know, that'll never
for
be
for sure. That was my position,
and the reality is that we are all susceptible, mm-hmm. and that's. Why we do the armor of God with our kids every day is we say, hey, look, our battle's not against flesh and blood.
Right.
The enemy is coming after you. My grandma used to say, if you feel attacked, it's because you're doing something right. If you're not doing things right, there's no reason for him to mess with you. You know, and so I think that there's just a lot of value in continuing to teach each other and continuing to teach our kids that none of us are beyond being susceptible to temptation or getting into a situation where you can justify it, right? Like you don't know what circumstances are going to happen to where you start making those decisions because of this thing, you mm-hmm. know? And so your morals become...
Well, and being vulnerable with your kids.
Yeah.
Talking with them, letting them see the weak side. Even though they said, oh, we thought you're perfect mm-hmm. and whatnot, I was always vulnerable with them. I, mm-hmm. I would not take the church problems home or whatever, mm-hmm. but we would talk about, hey, I'm frustrated with this. Dad prays every day against pride. Dad prays every day to have a compassionate heart. Dad mm-hmm. prays every day that he can be a great man of God for you and, mm-hmm. and forward. And kind of letting them see the inner workings of what's going on in my heart mm-hmm. and not think that, oh, life is perfect. Everything's going smooth. And if you do X, Y, ABC, then it works out a certain way. It doesn't always work out the way that the algorithms say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Jeff, if you had, I don't think that, I love it. Everything that we've talked about, this is amazing. I really, really appreciate you. I appreciate your heart. I appreciate your just willingness and vulnerability on a podcast or on a Sunday morning or at a staff meeting, wherever it is. You know, I just think that you are a testament of God's faithfulness and God's work in a person's life. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being that. For all of you guys listening, as you were listening today, I trust that God was speaking something to you, whether that's in the way that you're parenting, the way that you're treating your spouse, if you're a grandparent, the way that you're treating your grandkids, you know.
Yes.
All of these things.
Is Mindy listening?
I just hope that you'll take them and start putting these things into action. If you know somebody who you're thinking, man, I got a lot of out of this, and I think my friend Martha will
pass it along.
You know, pass this along, share it with them, because really our goal of this podcast is to remind you that in Christ, you are strong by design.
Yep.
Like, that is the whole point of why we do this show, is to recognize in my mind and in my body and my spirit, God created me to be strong. And it is because of sin and in the world that we slip away from that. So please share this with others. We release a new episode every single Wednesday. We have so many episodes right now, releasing Ooh. Them every Wednesday and Saturday. So we're giving you double the punch Saturday. Every single week. But thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.